Good morning. Welcome. Good to see everyone here this morning. Nice to see Peter here. We welcome him back from his wanderings across the waters. Our sun-kissed friend here. Thank you, Peter. Good to have you back. Special welcome to anyone visiting our church today. It's good to have you with us, and we know that each and every one of us will be blessed by being here. I have a question. Is there anybody here this morning who this very day is celebrating their 9th birthday? Anyone fit that bill? Oh, Maren, happy birthday to Maren today, her 9th birthday. Well done. You don't have to do a speech, Maren. We'll get your dad to do it for you. So, it's great to be here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. We have our Sir Daniel sitting behind me, lost his razor. If anyone can help him, over to you, Dan.
Yep. Lost my razor. I haven't had to do so much explaining in my life the last 2 weeks, and it's going to go on till the end of November. And then that's my biggest worry, trying to get rid of it. Let me bring your attention to the first thing that Peter said when he got here this morning. So I'm going to get Ian back on this one. Peter came in, and first thing he said, "Where's the bulletin?" I said, "It's right there. Ian did it." Here are your announcements just on the back of the bulletin. Mustard seed winter gifts. There's tubs in the foyer for your gifts of the new items. Operation Christmas Child, December 6th. Ladies from the church are going to Samaritan's Purse in Calgary to help with the boxes. Elders meeting on next Saturday at 9 a.m. The potluck lunch next Sunday, and that's after the service, of course. And a quiet retreat on the 26th, and that goes from 9 a.m. to noon, and you can pop in and out and stay as long as you wish. Also, there's the boxes that are out in the foyer. Those are sort of the extra library books. So you can read the signs, read them, pass them on, but don't bring them back. Another reminder about the nativity scenes. Those that have brought them in the past, and if there's anybody else who want to bring the nativity scenes, here we do a display in the church, and that is done on December the 4th. So we need to get those in as soon as we can. Are there any other announcements?
Dan mentioned the various containers in the foyer for different reasons, and there's also one there for the donations to the Christmas hampers. That will be coming up pretty soon now, so we have a donation box out there. So if you have any non-perishable food items that you would like to donate towards the Christmas hampers for the needy, then that is right there. Now, the theme of the worship today is is using our gifts and using the talents that God has given us in God's service. And in line with this, don't leave today without going in the nursery. The nursery has been redecorated. Laurie Reed, who is sneaking out now before I mention her. Laurie Reed and Sharon Bird have been working to decorate the nursery. They have finalised it in this past week, and it's beautiful. You've got to go and have a look at it. You can get in there today for free. Following today, you need a child to get you in there. So go in today and have a look at the redecorated nursery. It's beautiful. They've done a great job and a great example of using the talents that God has given us in God's service. You'll love that. Go and have a look at that. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in Psalm 145, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." I'd like to invite Kathy to come up now and lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you, Kathy.
Good morning, everyone. We've got three from the hymn book today that are going to get us in the spirit for worship. So first of all, let's stand and sing number 65 from the hymn book, "The Wonder of It All." We'll be thinking about those beautiful mountains we've seen occasionally out there. There's the wonder of sunset. George Beverly Shea wrote. And we're going to sing for our second one this morning, number 71, "Behold What Manner of Love." Now, we might have sung this a time or two, but it might also be quite unfamiliar. So it's written in two parts. You can do it as a round. So if anybody out there knows it well and wants to just give it as a round, I'm good with that. Sing out. Okay, we'll just sing it through twice the way it's written. "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That God. We'll do it again. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Well done. Next time, we're getting around. And the last one we're going to go into worship with is number 433, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Grateful thanks to Kathy for leading us in our approach choruses. Some beautiful pieces there. Shall we bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Father, that each of us here this morning have heard your voice. No matter how you have spoken to us, we have heard you, Lord, when you have called us to come together in this holy place, in this sanctuary of your love, your grace, and your blessings. And we are thankful to be here, Lord, because our hearts are overflowed with thanksgiving for the joy that you bring into our lives, for the blessings of being part of your family here on earth. And we thank you for that, Lord. So, gracious Father, as we gather to worship you this day, we pray that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that each of us may hear your voice as you speak to every one of us, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you will accept the praise that we bring as we worship you, as we lift high the name of Jesus, as we seek to bring honor and glory to the name which is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray to you now, Lord, in the words that our Savior Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading today is from Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, "If you're unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand." Responsive reading comes from Psalm 145, 17 to 21. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Appreciate Dan leading us in those readings from the Old Testament, and he has dressed appropriately for the Old Testament appearance. Thank you. Straight out of the Old Testament. Just a quick word about our economy-sized bulletin. Hopefully by next week the normal bulletin should be back, because Michelle is recovering from her broken wrist, and she told me that she hopes to be back to normal to produce our normal bulletin for next week. But I think this is pretty neat, don't you? What a good, whoever did this, what a fine job they did. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, We are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. We ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. To begin our act of remembrance this morning, just to put you in the picture a little bit, we invited Cam Reid to present special music for us today. And when Cam told me what he was intending to sing, it is a very relevant and suitable part of our act of remembrance. And so our act of remembrance will begin at this point in time. So I'd like to invite Cam to come on up here to present special music for us. And I'm hoping that Cam will do a little introduction to the piece that he's presenting. Thank you, Cam.
How's everybody doing today? Remembrance Day, we just went and remembered all the soldiers that had been fighting through the years. War is a terrible thing. I had two great grandfathers fight in Vimy Ridge, and we were lucky that they came home. So many of us have had uncles and aunts, neighbors and friends close to us that went to war, some that didn't come home. Those that did, we were blessed that they were able to grow old and have families, but some didn't come home, and it's a terrible, terrible sacrifice that is given. It's a great sacrifice, but war is a terrible thing. Anyways, this song that I'm going to sing, it's George Jones. He recorded it, and anyways, I hope you enjoy it. Maybe he didn't record it. There's teddy bears and high school rings, and old photographs that mamas bring, daddies with their young boys play. There's combat boots that he used to wear when he was sent over there. There's 50,000 names carved on a wall. There's cigarettes. Notes that say, I miss you, dear. Children who don't say anything at all. There's purple hearts and packs of gum. Fatherless daughters and fatherless sons. 50,000 carved in a wall. They come from all across this land. Pick up trucks and minivans, searching for a boy from long. and rosary beads. Crucifixion figurines, flowers of all colors, large, there's a Boy Scout match, an American, little Canadian flags waving in the wind, there's 50,000 names carved in a wall, there's 50,000 names carved in a wall.
Our thanks to Carl for that very relevant piece that he presented for us as part of our act of remembrance. I'd like to invite David to come up and join me now, please. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please stand? David will play for us the last post, and we will stand for a minute of silence. This is our own act of remembrance, our own church family here, and this is, I know throughout Europe, today is Remembrance Day. They always have it on the Sunday nearest to November the 11th, and me being from that part of the world, here we are. Thank you, David. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, David. What I want you to do next is to get your tissues ready, because I'm going to have you look at a little piece of a DVD, and it might just touch you emotionally. This is the DVD which is the lead up to Operation Christmas Child from Samaritan's Purse. So I'll just ask Iris if you can pop those lights out, Iris. And then we'll just watch this piece of video.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham here at Operation Christmas Child. Guess what? Every shoebox gift that we get is filled with God-given opportunities.
All around the world,
millions of children are ready
for a simple and powerful gift
that will start their greatest journey.
It's Operation Christmas Child.
Since 1993, over 86 million shoeboxes have been delivered to children in over 130 countries.
It's awesome the way we see smiles on the children's faces. Children who will never have received a Christmas gift. Children who don't know what it means to receive a gift.
Every day, children around the world experience poverty, disease, war, and natural disaster. In Haiti, children were left homeless, injured, and orphaned after a devastating 7.0 earthquake.
They're not only so hurt physically, but they are so hurt emotionally, what they have been through.
Operation Christmas Child is planning to give a record number of shoebox gifts to the children of Haiti in the 2011 Christmas season.
The need in Haiti will be here for a long time. We come to countries like this to help the people, but to do it in the name of Jesus Christ.
All over the world, we found incredible stories of transformation through the simple gift of a shoebox and the discipleship program that comes after it.
We give these boxes out, we give them in Jesus' name, and these boxes have come from people who pray for these kids, love these kids, and we just pray that these children will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
I see how the children are now, and I want them to know how happy I was when I received Christ. Sometimes I feel that they're supposed to be knowing God because that's the greatest gift that they will ever have in their lives.
In the Philippines, Rosanna was 10 when she came to Christ after receiving her shoebox gift. And now she gives back by teaching the Operation Christmas Child Discipleship Program, The Greatest Journey. In Nicaragua, in the local community of Ocotal, Bismarck received a box when he was just 10 years old. In that shoebox gift, he received a soccer ball that not only changed his life, but continues to impact lives today.
De verdad que todo cambió. Todo cambió. Fue como una magia.
With the help of Operation Christmas Child's Bible Study Program for Children, Bismarck used that one ball to reach hundreds for Christ.
Empezamos a ir a los barrios más pobres, a buscar niños y a trabajar con niños. Y ahí empezó mi ministerio. Yo ya era un pastor de niños. Un pastor de niños y cuando...
Today, he's the pastor of hundreds of children and adults. He's using Operation Christmas Child's Bible Study programs to bring more than 150 kids to Christ last year alone. And he credits it all to one shoebox.
Puede conmocionar, puede mover el corazón de un niño, pero no solamente de un niño. Puede mover el corazón de toda una familia. ¡Ah! También de toda la comunidad. Y yo considero que sí, es un milagro.
I know we can do even more, but it starts with you. If you didn't pack a shoebox last year, pack one this year. If you packed three, pack three more. Together with Operation Christmas Child, we can change a generation. Thank you for my Christmas.
Thank you for your support of Operation Christmas Child. Pray for us as these boxes go out that we'll be able to communicate God's love to each and every child. You see, I want them to know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God bless you and a Merry Christmas.
Didn't that just touch your heart? And I think it's amazing, it's a wonderful thing that we can be part of it. You know, God has given all of us gifts. He has richly blessed our lives. And just by a little gift like a shoebox, that we can touch a child and perhaps be part of bringing that child to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. During the week, our ladies group have been putting together shoeboxes. They've got a lot already, but they're not going down yet. So if you haven't yet been able to put together a shoebox and you'd like to, there is still time. There's some boxes out in the foyer on the credenza. Get one of those boxes and bring it along as soon as you can, next Sunday if you can. Even the Sunday after would work, wouldn't it? But bring them along, and before they go down to Samaritan's Purse in Calgary, we will dedicate them and pray for the children who will be receiving those boxes. So, just wonderful. It's great to be part of the whole thing. Okay, I think the children are now going to leave for Sunday school. Making me feel bad now. No, you're going that way today. There you go. Out that way. You've lost two suits here. We stand and we sing to the glory of God. The hymn number 106. Praise Him, praise Him. Come to our time of prayer, and as always in our lives, I think we always find that we've got so much to be joyful about, so much to be thankful for, so much to give thanks and praise the Lord for. In this past week, Bill Camphius went off and got himself a new knee fitted. And I got an email from Bill during the week to say that his surgery was very successful. He's doing well. And he said he could feel the strength and the power of the prayers of his church family just lifting him. He could feel that when he was in the hospital. And he's hoping to be back at his home in Sundry come Tuesday. So that's great news. Also, something to give praise and thanks about, and they'll probably be down on me for saying it, but Cliff and Agnes celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary last weekend. So congratulations to them. Well done. And also, needing to feel the strength of our prayers is our own friend Joyce Doctor. Joyce is having a tough time. She is in our prayers. We think about Joyce, and I want you to just think about her even more and turn up the power if you can on your prayers and pray for Joyce, because when you are having a tough time and people are praying for you, as it did for Bill Campius, you can just feel the strength and the power of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is delivered to these friends of ours through your prayers. So pray for Joyce. And also in the foyer there is a card for her. And perhaps if you haven't already done so, sign the card for Joyce. And it lets us see and it gives her a reminder that she is part of our church family. And we are thinking of her and praying for her. And pray for all your friends as well. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Almighty God, our gracious Lord, our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for all of your gracious gifts to us. Especially for the things, Lord, we so very often take for granted, for daily food and for a measure of health and strength. For each breath that we take, for the freedom that we have to choose, for the gifts of your word and your power and your love in our lives. Our hearts are truly overwhelmed, O Lord, when we consider all that you are and how you have entrusted so much to us. Father, may we be worthy of that trust. And may we be a people who are not afraid to live as fully and as richly as you would have us to live. Help us, O Lord, as followers of our Saviour Jesus, to multiply all that you have given to us. Help us to be faith-filled and to desire to increase your glory and your goodness in this world, and especially in our own communities. May we be a people who share in both word and deed the many gifts that you have given to us. We pray, Holy Father, for your church here today, that we may be encouraged to discover, to develop, and to use all that you have provided to us through nature, through your grace, to enrich the lives of all around us. We thank you for our church family, for the joy that we find here in this wonderful, rich fellowship. And we ask you, Lord, to bless our homes, to protect them, and to enrich them by the presence of your Holy Spirit with us. We pray, Father, for those who are poor in body, in mind, or in spirit. We pray for those who are oppressed and heavy laden. We pray for those who are sick and in despair. And we pray, O Lord, that you will minister to these people by your Spirit, and by us, Lord, minister to them. Father, reach out to all of these people for whom we hold in our hearts, those people whom we whisper silent prayers for. And we ask, Lord, that your presence will be with them, and that by your presence that they may be graced by your wonderful peace. Lord, as we further seek your presence and guidance through the Holy Scriptures, we pray that we may be faithful servants to your word, that we may be accountable for our words and our deeds, and that we may prove to be trustworthy disciples of the gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we offer each and every one of our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first scripture is taken from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the man with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And the epistle reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. "Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, Let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Our thanks to Betty Ann for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to God's glory the hymn 347, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go. What is that? 374. It's not 347. Don't go out singing 347. Sing 374. We stand and sing to God's glory. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Jesus tells a story about a wealthy landowner who was preparing to go off on a long journey. So he calls in these three servants and he entrusted to them all of his property. He divided his property, we are told, and to one he gives 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. And Jesus begins this story with these words. He says, again, it being the kingdom of God, of heaven, will be like. Again, the kingdom of heaven will be like. So once again, Jesus is saying to us, if you want to know what heaven will be like, according to Jesus, who's the only one who's ever knows what heaven is like, this is what heaven is like. Every single one of us has been given gifts or talents according to our abilities. God created each and every single one of us. He knows what each one of us is capable of. When you think about it, isn't that just what life is like? Yes, we are all equal in the sight of God. We all have equal rights. And when it's voting time, all of our votes count the same. They're all equal. But when it comes to our abilities, we are as different can be. God simply did not make us all the same. There are some people who can handle five talents, and there are some people who can barely handle one talent. Some people have great intellectual capabilities, and some of us do not. Some are able to project and articulate their thoughts. Some of us cannot. Some have great physical prowess and attractive looks, and some of us do not. But the important thing to remember is that each servant is given something. Every single one of us has been given something. No one was left idle. Now, you may not regard yourself as a five-talent person, but however you do regard yourself, you have at least one gift, one talent. We all do. And in Jesus' story, this talent, I mean, what is a talent? It's a very significant amount of either property or money. One talent was to the value of 15 years' wages. So we can see that even the one talent guy has been entrusted with a lot of property, a lot of money, most likely money. And then the landowner returned home, and he expected to receive a return on his investments. Now, this is a very important point in this story. The landowner, who is God, expects a return on his investments. The landowner, God, expects a return on his investments. We've all been given at least one talent by God, and God expects a return on his investments. During my research into this piece of scripture, I came across an illustration that seems to indicate that not all talents are appropriate to God's purposes. One man in a group who were being received into the church heard the pastor say, "Now God has given each of you a unique talent. When you join the church, you are expected to serve God with whatever abilities you have." Well, it just so happened that this particular man was a reformed criminal. He'd just gotten out of jail, but he had renounced his life of crime and he was going straight. And so joining the church was one of his first steps in this effort. So he went to the pastor and he said, "Preacher, church work is something that I'm not real familiar with. But I can fix the church's electric meter so that every other day it will run backwards. And that way you will never have to pay another electric bill." I've got his name here for you, Charlie. Some talents are inappropriate and perhaps are not all of God. But I think it's interesting that in this 25th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, we read three parables in a row. The parables of the 10 bridesmaids, the parable of the talents, and then the parable of the sheep and the goats. And after each one, or part of each one, the same phrase is used. And it says, after a long time. The bridegroom comes after a long time. The landowner returns after a long time. The judgment comes after a long time. So perhaps the Bible is telling us that our Lord's return may be delayed, but in the meantime, what are you doing with the gifts, with the talents that God has entrusted to you? We need to be clear. God expects a return. He does not expect us to bury the gifts or the talents that He has given to us. Now, it seems obvious that the star, or the villain of this story, is the one talent man. And the relevant question would seem to be why? Why did he choose to do nothing with the one talent that had been given to him? And we're not really given any answer to that, so we are left to speculate. So speculate we will. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, so I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground." I was afraid, fearful perhaps of doing the wrong thing. So he chose to do nothing at all. Fear does strange things to people. A frog once fell into a very deep rut, and try as he might, he could not get out. Mrs. Frog, standing above the rut, admonished him, she belittled him, she beckoned to him. "Come on," she said, "get out of there and let's go." But Mr. Frog, from deep down in the rut, said simply, "I have tried everything, and there is nothing that I can do. There's no way that I can get out of this rut." So Mrs. Frog left him there and hopped on down to the pond. A few minutes later, Mr. Frog appeared beside her on their favourite lily pad. "I thought you said you couldn't get out." And he replied, "A big truck came along, so I had to." Fear can send you one way or the other. It motivates some people to action, and other people, it just freezes them up. Mr. One Talent, for whatever reason, was afraid, so he did something that was actually quite common at that time. He buried his talent, he buried the money in the ground. That's what many people did in those days. They buried their talent, their money in the ground. Perhaps another reason that this man did nothing with his one talent was that he played the, what we might call the if-only game. The if-only game. If only I had been given the talents of those other men, then I could have accomplished something as well. And you know, we play the if-only game. "I'd love to teach Sunday school if only I had her ability. If only I had a voice, I would sing solos as well and I would join the choir. I would love to support the church better than I do if only, if only, if only." It's a dangerous game to play because we think that it lets us off the hook. Maybe, but nothing gets done if we all play that same if-only game. There was a 38-year-old cleaning lady who would go to the movies and she would watch the movie and she would look and she would sigh and say, "If only I had her looks." And she would listen as people sang and she would say, "If only I had her voice." Then one day someone gave her a book written by Claude M. Bristol and it was entitled The Magic of Believing. And after she read this book, she stopped comparing herself to the actresses and to the singers, and she took stock of herself. And she remembered that when she was back in high school, she had the reputation of being funny. She had the ability to make people laugh. So she began to turn her liabilities into assets. And when she was at the top of her career, Phyllis Diller made over $1 million a year. In the 1960s, $1 million was worth a lot more than what $1 million is worth today. Now, she still wasn't good looking, and she still had a scratchy voice, but she used her one talent and she made people laugh. She brought lightness and life and enjoyment into people's lives. So maybe, if we play the if only game, maybe God is saying to us, stop complaining about what you do not have and use the gift or the gifts that I have given to you. But it could have been that Mr. One Talent didn't use his one talent because he thought to himself, well, my one little talent won't make any difference anyway. There are so many people who feel this way today. I am not a significant factor. I don't make any difference. But you know, you do. God did not create you and put you where you are today for no purpose. If you are not using the talent or talents that God has given to you to God's glory, to God's purposes, then God notices. God notices because your purpose is not being fulfilled. Sir Michael Costa, who is the celebrated conductor of the 19th century, he was holding a rehearsal. And as the mighty chorus rang out, accompanied by scores of instruments, the piccolo player, this is a pint-sized little flute, thinking perhaps that his small contribution to this mighty sound would not be missed amid all this beautiful music, he stopped playing. And suddenly, the great leader of the orchestra stopped everything, and he cried out, "Where is the piccolo? Where is the piccolo?" And the sound of that one very small instrument was necessary to the harmony, and the master conductor missed it when it dropped out. To the master, there is no insignificant instrument in the orchestra. They are all important. And so sometimes the smallest and seemingly least important one can make and does make a big and important contribution. In Christ's church, which we are part of, the players and the instruments are diverse. They're different. Different sizes, different shapes, all playing different notes. And sometimes, like the piccolo player, in our own sovereignty, we decide that our contribution is not significant. Our contribution couldn't possibly make a difference. And so we quit playing. We stop doing that which the Lord has given us to do. We drop out. But the conductor immediately notices. The conductor immediately notices. From our own perspective, our contribution to life in general, to the church, to the Lord's glory, may seem small. But to the Master, to the Creator of all, it is crucial, it is significant. When I spend several hours working on my Sunday message, I don't know that it's going to make any difference at all to the life of anyone. When a teacher takes the trouble to reach out to a troubled student, that teacher doesn't know if it's going to make any difference at all in the long run. When a person teaches Sunday school class, or goes to the trouble of getting involved in our church music, singing, greeting people at the door, looking after the library, washing the dishes, sweeping, cleaning, doing whatever. These people have no guarantees whatsoever that their efforts will make any difference to the glory of God. They don't know that. But we praise the Lord. We give glory to God for the very presence and the efforts of all of these people, because they are the ones that bring the Lord Jesus Christ, make him real to other people. They are the unsung songs of glory. Yes, they may not think that they are doing much, but when the time comes, they will be greeted by their Lord and their Savior with those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness." Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, whoever did this bulletin, I don't know whether they got this next number right, but we are going to stand again and we're going to sing to God's glory the hymn, according to this, 292, "God of Grace and God of Glory." We stand. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.